Yes, thanks for the introduction. Again, my name is Alex Lindsay. I'm a PhD candidate at The Ohio State University, and I'm excited to be talking about some of my PhD research on drought-tolerant corn hybrid response to nitrogen application rate. Agronomic management has been considered one of the major drivers of increases in corn grain yield over the last few decades, and there are a few different decisions that are weighed pretty heavily into the agronomic management side of corn production. Nitrogen application can increase yield in systems with limited soil N, and as of more recently, there's been a lot of interest in the four R's of conservation responsibility: the right rate, right source, right placement, and right timing of application. So this has gained increased interest from growers as far as how can I more responsibly manage the nitrogen going into my system. Another common agronomic management decision growers face every year is hybrid selection. Recently, a new generation of drought-tolerant hybrids has been released for commercial use in the Midwestern states, but these drought-tolerant hybrids may respond differently to nitrogen application than previously grown hybrids. They may have differences in uptake of nitrogen through the roots or possibly nitrogen utilization in the tissue, and ultimately could respond differently with grain yield at the time of harvest. So the objectives of this study were to evaluate drought-tolerant yield response to side-dress nitrogen rates, investigate the influence of nitrogen application on tissue N content, and examine the effects of nitrogen application on corn grain yield and quality. A field study was conducted in 2013 and 2014 at two Ohio locations, the Northwestern Agricultural Research Station in Hoytville, Ohio, and the South Charleston location was the Western Agricultural Research Station. For the purposes of time, in this presentation, I will focus on the results coming from the Northwestern Agricultural Research Station. The study was conducted as a randomized complete block with a full factorial of nitrogen rate and hybrid. The soil type at this site was a Hoytville silty clay loam. At each location, we used a representative plant population for production. At Northwest Ohio, we used a plant population of 76,000 plants per hectare, which equates to approximately 31,000 plants per acre. And at Western, we used a population of 89,000 plants per hectare, which correlates to 36,000 plants per acre. Each year, the previous crop was either wheat, fallow, or corn, so we could maximize the treatment effect of our nitrogen applications. Five different side-dress nitrogen application rates were selected for this experiment and were applied at the V4 corn growth stage, and ranged from 0 to 269 kilograms of nitrogen applied per hectare in the form of urea ammonium nitrate. For our hybrids, we selected four different Pioneer brand hybrids, one of which was considered an early maturing pair and one was considered a late maturing pair. Within each maturity grouping, we had one hybrid which received the Pioneer designation of Aquamax and had a drought tolerance rating from the company of a 9. Its counterpart within a maturity group received a drought tolerance rating of 7, which was considered susceptible. In Ohio, the lowest susceptibility rating to drought we were able to obtain was a 7. From here on in the presentation, I will refer to each of these hybrids in the pairs as either tolerant early, susceptible early, susceptible late, or tolerant late, so you don't have to remember the different hybrid names or maturity groups. At multiple growth stages, we collected measurements, but today I will present the relative chlorophyll content at R2, the ear leaf tissue analysis at R2, and corn grain yield that we collected at the end of the season. We also evaluated the grain for quality aspects such as protein, oil, and starch content. All of the data were analyzed using PROC mixed and SAS, with our fixed factors being nitrogen rate and hybrid, and we separated our means using Fisher's protected LSD. I will now proceed to the results, beginning with the R2 measurements on the leaf tissue. This graph is showing our relative chlorophyll content measured at the R2 growth stage using a SPAD meter, with relative chlorophyll content on the y-axis, and our five side-dress nitrogen application rates on the x-axis, ranging from 0 to 269 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare. The different lines correspond to our four hybrids. We observed at the R2 growth stage that our tolerant hybrids tended to have a lower relative chlorophyll content respective to our two susceptible hybrids grown in the same location. We also noticed that each hybrid responded similarly to nitrogen application, with maximum relative chlorophyll content occurring at our 202 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare rate. The earleaf nitrogen concentration followed a similar trend with regard to response to nitrogen application rate. The earleaf nitrogen concentration on the y-axis increased until we applied 202 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare, where we saw the maximum concentration for all four of our hybrids. We did see a difference with hybrid with regard to earleaf N concentration, with the greatest earleaf N concentration being observed in our late susceptible hybrid. The early tolerant hybrid had a similar level, but it was slightly lower. The mean was slightly lower. Both our tolerant late and susceptible early hybrids had the lowest earleaf N concentration. When we looked at the dilution effect that may be incurred because of the biomass of those earleaf samples, we actually saw that the differences between hybrids observed from concentration disappeared when we looked at total N content in the earleaf in milligrams of nitrogen per earleaf. We still saw the effect of nitrogen application rate on N removal. So even though the concentration was slightly different in our hybrids, the total content of the earleaf was similar. Moving back to the earleaf N concentration graph, I wanted to draw in a few lines of interest. The lower line that just appeared is the line that is recommended by the Tri-State Fertilizer recommendations as far as the marginal level for earleaf N concentration needed for grain yield production, whereas the upper line is considered the level that is sufficient for maximizing grain yield production. The sufficiency level crossed for most of our hybrids at the 202 kilogram nitrogen per hectare rate. When we look at our grain yield response from 2013, we see this trend come to fruition with our yield graphs. We saw that there was no effect of hybrid on grain yield as far as response to nitrogen application, but each hybrid responded similarly to nitrogen application rate. From an ANOVA analysis, we saw that the maximum yield was occurred at 202 kilograms of nitrogen applied per hectare. When we applied different regression analyses to this, to the yield graphs, we looked at a linear plateau model, a quadratic plateau model, and a quadratic plus plateau model. All of the models fit the data significantly with p-values less than 0.001, but the greatest f-value was observed from our quadratic plateau model, which identified a plateau nitrogen rate of 198 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare, indicating that above this nitrogen application, you would see no additional yield benefit. With regards to grain protein concentration in 2013, we did see some interesting hybrid differences. Our late tolerant hybrid had the highest level of protein as compared to our other hybrids, but the early tolerant hybrid had the lowest level of protein relative to the other hybrids. We saw that each hybrid had a similar response to nitrogen application, ranging from around 6% protein at 0 kilograms of nitrogen applied per hectare, all the way up to about 8.5 with our maximum nitrogen application rate. When we look at the grain oil concentration, we see that both our tolerant hybrids, early and late, had the highest grain oil concentration as compared to our other two hybrids. The oil response to nitrogen application was more variable, with maximum oil occurring at 0 kilograms of nitrogen applied and the lowest levels of oil occurring at the 202 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare rate. I would like you to keep in mind, though, that all of these data points range anywhere from 3.1% to 3.4%, so it is a very small percentage of the grain. With regards to grain starch concentration, we see almost the opposite trend as we saw with protein concentration. Both our tolerant hybrids had the lowest level of starch as compared to our susceptible hybrids, and starch content decreased as nitrogen application increased. The starch concentration at 0 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare was around 63% of the grain, whereas at the highest application it was around 61% of the grain. So in summary, the earleaf nitrogen content was the highest in our late susceptible hybrid, but sufficient earleaf nitrogen correlated to maximum grain yield for all of the hybrids that we evaluated. All hybrids had a similar nitrogen yield response curve, and the grain composition did vary by hybrid. Our late tolerant hybrid had the greatest protein level, and both of our tolerant hybrids had less starch and more oil as compared to their susceptible counterparts. The oil concentration seemed to be the least responsive to nitrogen application. We observed similar results at the Western Agricultural Research Station. However, we did see that maximum nitrogen needed to achieve our maximum yield was slightly less than at the Northwest Research Station. It was closer to the 134 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare applied, but we had similar results with regards to our regression analysis and the yield response curves. So in conclusion, the drought-tolerant hybrids in Ohio environments can be managed following current nitrogen recommendations. We observed a maximum yield at the Northwest Research Station was achieved at 198 kilograms of nitrogen applied per hectare, but the yields from 2014 still need to be analyzed. The changes in grain, protein, oil, and starch content may affect feed quality or some marketing purposes down the line, but the data from 2014 still needs to be analyzed to confirm this, and also the differences that we observed may not be biologically or marketingly significant. Some future research in this area, we're actually working with the new soil fertility specialist at Ohio State University to get some of the grain analyzed for nutrient removal from these different sites to see if there's any correlation with nutrient removal and hybrid as well. So with that, I'd like to acknowledge their funding sources for this research, the OARDC Seeds Graduate Grant Program, the Industry Matching Grant Program through the Seeds Program, Spectrum Technologies, and Pioneer Hybrid for their support of this research. And I'd be happy to take any questions that you may have.
We do have time for a question or two. Tony.
Right, the question was, how did we measure the nitrogen analysis? We used a few different methods to measure nitrogen. The ear leaf tissue nitrogen was measured using tissue sampling through a soil testing lab. We collected those samples at R2, dried them down, weighed the biomass, and then sent them off for analysis. The protein, we used a NIR machine to measure the content there. And to measure relative chlorophyll content, we use a SPAD meter to measure that. We also did some work with the Spectrum Technologies Green Index app, but I didn't show any of that data here.
So if your starch in the grain went down that much in response to nitrogen and your protein content didn't change that much, what else is going on in the kernel?
The question was what is replacing the starch? And what we saw in our experiment was that as starch went down from 63 to 61%, our protein went up from 6 to 8.5%. So the offset was fairly similar between protein and starch. I think the remainder would have been from oil production. All of the results that came from the machine were reported at 15.5% moisture, so I don't think it was coming from differences in moisture either.
One last question.
I came in a little late, too, but it was 2013 drought stress year, and how do you think your results would vary depending on how much rainfall happened in the current year?
Right. The question was 2013 a drought stress year for Ohio? And for our two research sites, 2013 was actually a record-producing corn yield year for us in Ohio. 2012 was the summer where we experienced the severe drought stress at our research locations. So these are results coming from more than optimal growing conditions. 2014 was more like an average year for us in Ohio, so I'm excited to get to those results and analyze those. But the results from 2012 may show some differences. In some of our previous work, we have seen some hybrid effect with regards to the drought-tolerant hybrids versus susceptible hybrids. And that could affect grain yield and yield response to nitrogen, and also grain content of protein and oil and such.
Thank you, Alex.
Thanks.